This morning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and we wish to look at verse 40. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and at verse 40, we are looking through this first chapter of Mark, and this morning we reach verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. This morning, we wish to look at the account of this leper who came to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 37 of this chapter, we read that when the disciples had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. All men seek for thee. But those who were seeking for him never found him. But there is one man of whom we read who did find him and who came to him, and that was this leper. This account takes place after the time of the Lord on the Mount, when he gave the Sermon on the Mount, which Mark doesn't record for us here. But in that sermon, the Lord says, Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For unto him that asketh, it will be given. Unto him that seeketh, he shall find it. And unto him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. Here was one individual man who found the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to look at the four things that we are told of this man in this one verse today. We are told, first of all, that he came to Jesus. There came a leper to him. Secondly, we discover that he was beseeching him. Thirdly, we discovered he is kneeling to him. And fourthly, he is speaking to him. So these are four things that we are told of this leper, and these are the four things that we want to look at this morning. First of all, we are told that there came a leper to him. This leper came to Jesus. Now, how it is that the leper came to come to Jesus, very possibly he heard what Jesus had to preach, or he saw what Jesus was doing. You find in the previous verse, and Jesus preached in their synagogue throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Now, this leper wouldn't have been in the synagogue, but very possibly he heard what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. Very possibly, he saw what he was doing. And I think that, I personally believe that he had heard as well as saw what the Lord was doing. And this had an indelible impression upon him. And I believe that very often you hear people preaching on this verse and they preach on various things. I believe there is one fundamental point that this whole account is setting before us. And it is the impression that this man had when he heard and when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Such was the impression that he left the place where he was, the colony where he was with other lepers. And he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes with a measure of boldness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is no holy irreverence. We notice that there is absolute, and we'll see that in a minute, there is no holy irreverence by which this man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a holy boldness that brings him directly that he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. You think, for example, of the woman with the issue of blood. She didn't have that holy boldness. She came and would touch the hem of his garment. And she was a woman that had an issue of blood 12 years. She wasn't a leper. This man was considerably worse than the woman with the issue of blood, who came in behind and touched the hem of his garment. But this man that was full of leprosy came, and came with a holy boldness to the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that such a leper could come to the Lord Jesus Christ? How is it that a sinner in all his filthiness can come to the Lord Jesus Christ? There is only one answer, and that is that he comes by royal invitation. The Lord Jesus Christ invites such to come to him. You go back to Isaiah, "Come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none other." The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Were you to go to the Buckingham Palace today, you wouldn't get past the doors unless you had a royal invitation to come. Well, this leper, along with sinners, he has a royal invitation to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember when little children were going to be brought to the Lord Jesus? When little children were brought into his presence, and the disciples would keep them away, and Jesus prevents them. Jesus tells them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So that even little children were encouraged to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the devil would seek to prevent sinners coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps the fact that this man would cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Perhaps it would be that others would look at him and say, "This is a leper. He's unclean. He shouldn't be going in among people. He shouldn't be coming to the Lord Jesus Christ." And perhaps as he does come, and as he walks, and we'll see in a minute that a leper had four marks upon him that distinguished a leper from all others. Perhaps as he made his way to the Lord Jesus Christ, the crowd were parting in front of him. They didn't want anything to do with him, and they couldn't do anything for him. But he came. And perhaps the devil today would say to you that you can't come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps it would be those, and even the devil would suggest to this man that as a leper he could not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet this man came with a holy boldness. He came to the Lord, and nothing would hold him back. And you notice that as he comes, as we said before, when we considered the words in verse 34, he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils. Those who were at the door of Peter's house that Sabbath evening, there was no preparation. There was no trying to make themselves better. There was no preparation for this leper who was full of leprosy, Luke tells us. And Luke knew as a doctor what that meant. He was full of leprosy. And yet there was no preparation for him. He just came as he was, with all his leprosy. And that's the way sinners are to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are to come as they are. They are to come without preparation. You cannot prepare yourself. You cannot cleanse yourself. You cannot change yourself. He came as he was, and it was the Lord who changed him. It was the Lord who did it for him. My friend, today, you may think yourself the worst sinner that there is. But the Apostle Paul says he was the chief of sinners, and the chief of sinners found mercy at the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. A poor leper found mercy and compassion at the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if this poor leper found such compassion and was able to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it says of him, and there came a leper to him. My friend, if it's the case today that a leper can come to him, then let nothing else stop us and keep us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no sin that is so vile, and there is no sin that today is in your heart or in your life. There is no sin that ought to keep you from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, because this leper came to the Lord Jesus. But the second thing we note is that not only did he come, the leper came to Jesus, the second thing we notice is that he besought Jesus. And a leper came to him, beseeching him. Now what reason this leper had to beseech the Lord Jesus Christ? First of all, his condition, the situation in which he was to be found in. He was a leper, and he was one who was full of leprosy. What a fearful contagion this man suffered from. Leprosy was one of the worst diseases that could ever afflict anybody. It started off with but a small appearance, and very often it wouldn't be seen until it started to show itself outwardly in the skin, where the scab would begin to form. Is that not the way sin itself? Little sins become big sins. This leprosy started off with someone perhaps not feeling well, feeling tired, falling asleep, feeling as though they can't do anything. And then that falling asleep and that tiredness becomes like a scab on the skin. It comes to the surface. Sin begins with a small thing, and it becomes then great. And it spreads throughout the whole body. It spreads throughout the whole of the body until eventually the person is full of leprosy and he becomes disfigured with it. And the scabs that were there used to weep. They used to weep terrible. And it would go deep under the skin. It was a contagion, but it was hereditary. You remember how Naaman says to Gehazi that he would take, when the prophet says to Gehazi that the contagion of leprosy would be upon you and upon your seed, and your seed and your children and your children's children. It wasn't just upon him, it was something that was hereditary. And that contagion and that disease that ultimately disfigured and brought this person down to be full of it, separated himself from everyone else. Separated that leper from everybody else. He couldn't live in his own home. He was separated from his family. He was separated from his home and his children. He wasn't allowed to go into the synagogue. He was in a colony very often with other lepers. And there were four marks that separated him off from other people. We are told that his clothes were rent. His head was bare. He would cover his upper lip. And he would cry out, unclean, unclean. So that everybody would know. You know, lest you come near a leper, you would see them before you would come near them. Their head was bare. Their clothes were rent at the top. They would cover their lips. And they would cry out, unclean, unclean. No wonder this man came into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and besought him. He came beseeching him. He came beseeching him that he would do something for him. And it's because of all that I've said just now that leprosy in the scripture is such a picture of sin. Sin is hereditary. Sin is a contagion that spreads. Sin very often starts off as something small. Sometimes it only appears in the outward, but it's deep into the very blood and into the heart itself. And it is, as the lepers used to be, the walking dead. That's what they used to call them, the walking dead. And it separates you from God and separates you from God's house. Think of the words that we read together in Isaiah chapter 6. How appropriate. From the sole of the feet even unto the head, there is no soundness. There are wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. How that describes the leper and how that describes the sinner. From the sole of the feet to the crown of the head. And how earnest then this man was when he came into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. How earnestly he sought and besought the Lord. He didn't come in and say, well, this is something I must do today. I'll put time to go and seek this man Jesus. I'll fit it in with everything else I'm doing. That wasn't the case with this man. He was earnest. He besought the Lord. He came to him. And this was the one thing that filled his whole life and his whole mind and soul, that he had to come, and he had to come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had to beseech him. My friend, have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and have you besought him earnestly? Remember how Paul puts it in Hebrews, when he says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to those things that we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Paul in Mars Hill speaks in this way, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. We are today encouraged, not only that this leper came to the Lord Jesus Christ, but surely as sinners, we are encouraged to come and beseech the Lord, that he would have mercy upon us, even as this man besought the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there is a third thing. And he kneeling down before him. That's the third thing we discover. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him. What did he mean by kneeling down to him? Well, he came obviously, and to me it is that he came and he worshipped. It was a sign that he would come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine Paul or Peter or James or John at any time allowing anybody to come and bow down before them and kiss the ring? Could you imagine any of these men doing that? Paul and Barnabas, as we've noted before, Paul and Barnabas, when they were going to exalt them, they said, we are men as like passions as yourself. Do not worship us. It is right that we honour the king. It is right that you honour the office of the elder. We are to honour those to whom honour is due. And you are bound to give honour to the office of the eldership. And indeed, double honour to those who labour in word and in sacrament. But there is a difference between giving honour to an office and what this man did when he came and knelt down before the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he is not just honouring, but here he is worshipping the person. He is kneeling down before him. Now I don't know if you've noticed this, and I never noticed it myself, until I started looking at this verse. And you'll discover that in Mark's Gospel, this is the first person. that you read of in Mark's Gospel that comes and actually kneels before the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has been down at the shores of Galilee, with the exception of John the Baptist, of whom it is said that he says, I'm not even worthy to unloose the shoe, the latchet of his shoe, and who says, I shouldn't be baptizing you, you should be baptizing me. And in that there is a similar issue. But from the time that the Lord Jesus goes out after the temptation, and he comes and he meets the disciples, we read of the disciples following him. We don't read of any of them kneeling before him. He goes into the synagogue and we see that he casts out a man, the devil out of a man. We don't read of that man kneeling before him. On that Sabbath evening, there were many who were possessed with devils, who came with all manner of diseases, and he healed them. But none of them knelt before him. You have to wait until you find a leper out of a leper colony to find a man coming and kneeling before him. We read of all men are seeking after you, but only one man comes and bows the knee before him. The one man who comes and bows the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ isn't the great and the mighty in the synagogue. It's not the great religious men or the mighty men of Capernaum. It's a poor leper out of a leper colony who comes and bows the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes and he worships the Lord. He bows before him and acknowledges, surely, that here is one who is not like other men. Here is one that is worthy to come and to be kneeled before. Why is it that he comes and kneels before him? Well, I think you now come to the crux of what this whole account is talking about. You very often hear people preaching on the leper here that's cleansed and the priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ and how the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses the leper. Do you know that's not, I believe, what the whole... And I put this to you having read this. Do you know what I believe is we have been taught here? That here is a man who has grasped that Jesus Christ is King. That Jesus Christ is King and Lord of all. He comes and he bows before the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, whom we have already heard, has gone out and preached. What did he preach? The gospel of the kingdom. He has healed all manner of diseases. And that is why I believe that the reason this leper comes and bows before him indicates to us that this leper has seen one thing, and that is that Jesus Christ is Lord and King. He has preached about a kingdom, and now he comes and he bows before him as acknowledging that he indeed is a king. And the same Lord Jesus today subdues the rebellious heart of man in the same way. Not by him personally coming and speaking. The Lord of glory is in heaven. But he comes today by the same way, by his word and now by his spirit. And he establishes a kingdom that we have spoken about already, when he goes out and preaches the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Here is one of the citizens of the gospel of that kingdom. Jesus didn't come to call all men in Capernaum. He came to call a poor leper out of a leper colony. And he rules in the heart of this leper. This leper now comes in all his leprosy, full of leprosy. And the crowd you can see almost parting as he walks towards Jesus, his eyes upon him. He came to him, and now he's going to beseech him. And he bows the knee before him. And he acknowledges that Jesus Christ is King. He acknowledges his authority. He acknowledges his rule. He is acknowledging his kingdom. And it is a spiritual kingdom. And that it is a kingdom that is now established in his heart. Whatever this leper saw and heard, if he heard the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Matthew tells us that he preached the gospel of the kingdom, he saw the works that Jesus did, and his heart is now subdued. And his heart is now ruled. My friend, has the Lord Jesus Christ subdued your sinful heart to himself? Have you been brought to be under the authority and the rule of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You hear a lot in preaching about being saved. You hear a lot in preaching about your sins being forgiven. You hear a lot in preaching about being cleansed. You hear a lot in preaching about the priestly work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and all of it true. But what about the office of Jesus Christ as King? As the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Many in this leper's day would say, this is just Joseph's son. Who is he? Who is this man that says he can forgive sins? He makes himself to be God. The rulers and the Pharisees and Pilate says, what is your kingdom? Where is your kingdom? Go back to Mark's Gospel chapter 1 and there you see the kingdom. When this man, a leper, brought out probably out of a leper colony, and he comes, and we are told, he kneeled before the Lord. And that brings us to the fourth thing. He came to Jesus. He besought Jesus. He kneeled down to Jesus. And he spake to Jesus. And saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It's a strange request, isn't it? It's a strange thing to say. Because if you came to Jesus, surely you would say, as a leper, you would come and say, Jesus, cleanse me. Will you please cleanse me of my leprosy? This leper comes and doesn't actually ask anything at all. When you look at it, it's implied within it. But he's not actually asking. He's making a statement about the Lord Jesus Christ. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You see, there's another man that recognizes the royal prerogative of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he does ask him directly, and that's the thief on the cross. Remember the thief on the cross? Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. There's a man again. When Jesus has been crucified, that recognizes the royal prerogative, the royal dignity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he asks directly, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. This leper doesn't say, Lord, cleanse me of my leprosy. That's maybe what you would say, isn't it? If you came as a leper, you go to a physician. You don't say to them, well, if you want to do it, will you please cure me? You go to the physician and you say, well, this is what's wrong with me, cure me. Others cried out like that, David, thou son of David, have mercy, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. But not this man. Why not? Why does this man put it the way he puts it? Well, it goes back, I believe, to exactly what I think this is all about. This man has recognized that Jesus is King. You go into the presence of the Queen, and you've got an invitation to come to the Queen. And even when you have an invitation to come into the presence of the Queen, and you want something, you want a piece of ground that the Queen owns, and you say to them, you don't go to the Queen and say, Your Majesty, I want this piece of ground. What do you say? Your Majesty, if it is thy will, it is in thy hands to do this for me. You're recognizing the authority. You are recognizing the office that she holds and who she is. And I believe when this man comes before Jesus, he has kneeled down before Jesus, and now he once again recognizes the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. If thou wilt, my Lord, if it is thy will, you can make me. It's implied within it. That's what he wants. The Lord Jesus knows exactly what he wants. But when he comes, he says to Jesus, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. There's two things that you discover with this man. He recognized that is the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ. That Christ as a king is able to do for him what no one else can do for him, what he can't do for himself. And secondly, he comes with a holy boldness, but a holy reverence into the presence of Jesus. It's a holy reverence that this man has. He doesn't even come in and say, Lord, this is what I want. He says, Lord, I leave it to you. I leave it to you. But if you're willing, then I know you can do it. Have mercy upon me. And my friend, who better can you come to than to the Lord Jesus Christ to cast yourself upon his mercy? You know that the will of Jesus Christ is conditioned by three things. The will of Jesus Christ is conditioned by the will of the Father. He has come to do the will of the Father. It is conditioned by the glory of the Father. And it is conditioned by the good of his people. So that whatever he does, he will do it for the good of his people. And when this poor man comes and casts himself upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he casts himself upon the one that he knows is not only a king, but he's the one who will do what is right. And my friend, what do you want from the Lord Jesus Christ today? What is it that you want from him this first Lord's Day of the new year? What you want and what you get may not be the same thing. But you do know that when you come and you cast your cares upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he will answer your prayer and he will do for you what is right. You may not be cured the way this leper was cured, but you do know with the Apostle Paul, he's able to say that he's committed all things into the hands of the Lord. And he is able to do it with confidence, knowing that the Lord himself will do all things well. Have you come at the beginning of this year and cast all your burdens upon the Lord? Have you come and laid them at his feet? Have you come and besought him and kneeled before him and left it with him to do for you? if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he came to one who had compassion on him, and he says, I will, be thou clean. And every sinner that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, who beseeches him, and kneels before him, and acknowledges his lordship, and cries out to him, Lord, thou knowest what a hell-deserving sinner I am, but Lord, have mercy upon me. If thou wilt, make me clean. And you know there is none, not one, that goes away disappointed. He cleanses you from all your sin. And I wonder what it was like for that man when, as he came, the crowd were parting away from him. This is a leper. This is a man that's a leper. Keep out of his way. A man that was in such a heinous condition and a separated condition that nobody could do anything for him. And the law couldn't do it for him. All the law could do was declare whether he was clean or not clean. But when he came to Jesus, he discovered that Jesus cleansed him of his leprosy. Christ Jesus came into this world for sinners. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And when we come to him, we're able to come to him as Lord. And we're able to come to him and say, Lord, thou doest all things well. Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and bowed the knee to him and sought from him the greatest blessing of all? Let us pray. Most gracious and ever blessed Lord, we praise thy name that this leper came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He came with a holy boldness unto the Lord. And he came because he had an invite. And that sinners are invited to come to the Lord. Even out of a leper colony, he came and was blessed. And we bless thee that he was able to beseech the Lord Jesus Christ because of his condition. Because it was a condition that no man could cure. And we pray a condition that separated him from God, from the synagogue, from the worship. And we bless thee that not only did he beseech the Lord, but he knelt before him in recognition that he is the King, the one who is able to do for him, and the one who has all power in heaven and on earth, that even the winds and the seas obey his name. What manner of man is this? And we bless thee that he was able to forgive sins. And we bless thee today that he not only knelt before him, but that he spake to him. And he spoke to him as a subject coming to a king. And he was able to leave his condition with him, knowing that he would bless him. And we pray today that we would come, and that we would come in all our filthiness and know what it is to be washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Bless us now. Undertake for us and pardon us our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.